This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned to The Morning Run. It's 7:48. Now, in the last few days, a lot of controversy over the Control of Tobacco Product and Smoking Bill, which was actually tabled for the second and third reading in Parliament. Now, this has generated vocal responses by MPs and law experts that the extensive powers given to enforcement agencies could lead to police abuse and human rights violations.
As a result, Khairi Jamaluddin announced several changes to the bill, including the reduction of a fine from 5,000 ringgit to 500 ringgit, adding community service as one of the alternative penalties, the removal of body search for anyone under the age of 18, as well as removing punishment for all offences in relation to the bill. After 12 years of delay, if this bill is approved, there will be no legal leeway for those born in and after 2007 to smoke, thereby reducing national smoking prevalence of 21.3% to less than 5% in 2045.
Now, even though this would create a lasting and impactful health legacy for Malaysia, are there loopholes on the enforcement power issues in the bill itself? For some answers, we speak to Dr. Helmi Hajimaidin, consultant respiratory physician and technical advisor to the Ministry of Health on Tobacco Control. Good morning, Dr. Helmi. Now, there are concerns that it gives enforcement authorities too much power and is vulnerable for abuse of power. And so how would you address this? I mean, for example, is it necessary for an enforcement officer to be able to enter a premise to access computers for information, as well as the power to search and seize without a warrant?
Hi, good morning. I think the first thing to remind ourselves is that the bill is not just about the generational endgame. We are looking in a very holistic manner at all aspects and every aspect of tobacco control, which is why it's taken so long to get where we are today. To put things into context, at this point in time, when we're doing anything related to tobacco control, there are about four different acts that we have to pick and choose things from in terms of enforcement, in terms of what things are being, how things are being done. And a lot of these things come under guidelines of peraturan in the ministry. So it's actually something that will be determined by the minister at that point in time.
No, yes.
Think that the act.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So one of the things that the Act seeks to do is to actually codify these things so that there is less abuse of power. So this is something that basically will be determined by the Act itself rather than a sitting minister. And things like, for example, you mentioned access to computers for information. Now, these are things that are in place to provide ease of access for authorized officers to obtain information for investigation, such as things like sales, promotion, advertising, sponsorship. So these are more towards those who have been on the, I suppose, the supplier dealership side of things rather than the actual users itself. So the perception right now is that all these things are for those who are under 18 or those who are born after 2007, when in fact the role of this part of enforcement is more towards those who are providing these things to our youth at the moment.
So let's just focus on this supply-dealer relationship issue that you mentioned just now. Because yesterday, KJ amended the fine to 500 ringgit for those caught buying, smoking or possessing smoking-related products. Mm-hmm. So as you're saying, right, the quantum has been reduced, but should the onus of the offence then be shifted to the retailers and corporations rather than the individual?
I think it has to be a combination of two. So once again, to put things into context, current existing laws for those under 18 has a maximum fine of 1,000 ringgit. So the 500 ringgit is actually less than the 1,000 ringgit. And I think there's been, you know, good conversations about what is right, what is the extent to which these fines should be levied. And although the general, in fact, what has been done all this while is actually to introduce a compound rather than actually take kids to court. Now, for the law to have maximum impact, it is only logical that there is punishment for both the individual and these corporations that commit the offence, because you should also bear in mind that the retailers, the corporations, they actually have more severe punishment than the individuals within the Act itself, so that they hopefully will bear a greater responsibility for their actions, which facilitates and allows the offence to be committed. If you ask me, I would rather these people actually pay for the healthcare costs, but of course that's a far more complicated conversation to have.
Okay, I want to take a step back to what you said about, you know, the enforcement. Because the issue is, okay, you've explained that the enforcement, or let's say the search warrants, computers, that's only really meant for the dealer, supplier of these tobacco products. But how do we know that it won't be subject to abuse if the law is not clarified or clear?
Well, my understanding is that there is nothing being introduced in this law or this bill that is not already in existence elsewhere. So things like the,
but now we're extending it, right? We're extending it to even the possibility where this can be used when if the police, for example, I'm giving an example, suspect you of having a tobacco product. And you're underage.
Because right now there is nothing in the bill that targets possession. So possession is not an offense. So you can't just say, "Oh, I think you have something on you," and then go and search the person. That is not in the bill.
Okay. So what is then? When can the police actually then go and search you and seize without a warrant? When is the justification for that?
My understanding, and while I'll use the caveat here that I'm not a lawyer. But you can't do that on the individual. So once again, if you look at the details of the bill and you look at what the Minister of Health has mentioned yesterday, right, these do not apply to anybody under the age of 18, right? That's very clear, very specific, right? Possession is not an offence, right? So there isn't any scenario where you suspect an individual may possess something and therefore search the person. The issues with regards to search is more for issues of contraband. You know, there's all this big conversations going on about illicit cigarettes, about inappropriate marketing. So that's when you would go after the corporations. Now, the clauses itself, right, it clearly states that in certain situations, warrantless searches are needed, and this can only be applicable if there is a need to obtain evidence and testimony about the criminal incidents. And the other question that has been going around is whether or not we'll be criminalizing youth. And the answer is no, because my understanding is that none of this is going to lead to any criminal offense. None of this is going to lead to any criminal record. So it is not meant to penalize youth.
So, Doc, you know, just listening to you, it's very evident that there has to be a lot more clarifying conversations about many aspects of this bill. And that's why many Malaysian MPs have decided that, you know, it's less than 1 week to basically review this entirely new bill. Do you think the ministry has underestimated the engagement process and implementation of this bill?
No, to a layperson like me, that's the whole purpose of parliament. You debate these things, right? Now, the engagement process with various stakeholders, not just the MPs here, people who are involved in child protection, international agencies, so on and so forth, this has been going on for months, for decades. In terms of engaging the PSC, the Parliamentary Select Committees, we've been engaging them from the very beginning. Yes, we need to scrutinize the details because the devil is always in the details. But once again, that's what Parliament is for. You debate out the intricacies and you listen to what has been done to address the concerns. Yesterday in Parliament, even before we could debate, there was an MP who stood up and said, let's not debate at all and let's just postpone things to yet another committee. So my frustration is that there's all this delaying tactics that's going on when, in fact, you know, all the questions raised, which are all legit and all need to be addressed, we do have answers, we do have efforts that we have done and put in place, but we're not being given the opportunity, or rather there are attempts to stop us from giving the answers that are being asked of us.
Yeah, but it doesn't take away the fact that this bill is supposed to be decided in less than a week, right? Even in the August House. Is that sufficient time?
Well, if it is not something that's for Parliament to decide, isn't it? By the end of the debate, once again, the whole point of the debate is to address these issues. That's how Parliament works, to my layperson view, that you address the issues. And by the end of it, if they all say, you know what, actually, there is a lot of issues here, let's not vote on it yet. Or vote on it and it fails. But why is all this being discussed on social media, right? Why is it being raised by MPs who until today have had no interest in tobacco control whatsoever and suddenly are experts on harm reduction and illicit markets and stuff like that? So these are things that, once again, to the medical fraternity, we feel a bit frustrated because we feel that, you know, we have had plenty of engagement in the past. We have. It's not as if we have not spoken to MPs. We have. It's not as if we have explained things about tobacco control policies. We have. But unfortunately, politics being what it is, it's not just about healthcare issues.
Right.
And so, we spent entire... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so you have an opportunity to explain, because now many are making the argument that GG will spur the growth of illicit cigarette markets. Can you make that rebuttal that it does not?
In the 2 minutes that I have, there are... First of all, illicit markets, smuggling. First of all, there has to be issues of enforcement and governance. It's not just about tobacco. We have wildlife trafficking, you've got human trafficking. We don't make an argument that we should have lighter human trafficking laws on the basis that it'll make people not do it. So it's enforcement and governance and engagement with the appropriate authorities. And one of the key things that we've been doing is we've been actually getting various agencies from PDRM to Customs to the Health Ministry, all working together to improve enforcement. Because, yes, we have to agree and we have to accept the fact that in Malaysia we have wonderful policies, but sometimes enforcement is lacking. So there is no point in pushing forward a policy without pushing forward enforcement, which is what we've been doing. It's not perfect, but it's an ongoing process which we will continue to improve upon if given the opportunity.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Helmi Hajimaidin, consultant, respiratory physician and technical advisor to the Ministry of Health on tobacco control. Now, this bill, very controversial in the sense that a lot of opposing views on it. And although Dr. Helmi says, why is it being discussed on social media? It's actually on exactly that forum that we see a flurry of comments about it.
I think this is where, if you contrast, there's also another country that's also trying to pursue this, right? This
New
generational
Zealand.
Endgame, which is New Zealand. They have also been talking about this since 2009, 2007, I believe. So that's why I think we've been talking about it for quite a long time. But they plan to actually go through a select committee in New Zealand, and they aim to pass the bill end of this year, December 2022. So that, I think, is the big contrast here, because what we're hearing from many politicians now, especially from the opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim, is that they would like this to be referred to the Parliamentary Select Committee for further deliberation as opposed to getting it passed through, because the goal and target initially by the Health Minister was to get it passed this week or next week, August 2022, which is relatively fast.
Yeah, very fast indeed. And I think there's still question marks about enforcement, although Dr. Helmi did say it excludes things like possession. But I think there's a sense of, do we really believe it to be so? If it's so widely worded, will it be prone to be abused? Because, at the end of the day, bills, of course, should be debated. But enforcement, the way the bill is, I would say, interpreted, is still up for question, isn't it?
So I think that's why there's time required for the deliberation of the bill. When you even look at the question about the power of enforcement, the power to open baggage, to stop and search, to basically to access the computer, right? What are the provisions there in Malaysia? And if you contrast that with other countries like New Zealand, they don't seem to have those powers. So how does that contrast and compare?
Exactly, which is why we would like the Minister of Health, Karimi Jamaluddin, to tell us exactly that. So, KJ, if you're listening, you're welcome on the Morning Run anytime. Just give us a call or we can give you a call. But up next, we have The Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking to Koh Yong Hang, co-founder and managing director of SNS Network Technologies. That's happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.